Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back again with our last week on chapter 6. I was going to say last week. I couldn't remember what chapter we were on.
Who are we? Why am I here? What am I doing?
We have been in Terrorize Bible Study, Tell It Well, which is amazing. Thank you, Lord, to do and to teach. And the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about the walk of authenticity will increase the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving us last week, actually just kind of bringing up some good dialogue in between segments. When Stephen, his face shined like an angel, like the face of an angel. And can that happen today?
Can it happen today? Well, one, let's start off and then let's recap. Stephen was chosen as one of the seven.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is in full of faith, full of God's grace, and full of God's power, acting responsibly and serving in the ways that he has been called to by God and validated by the apostles. He's been known by those in the community as a man who is full of wisdom and full of the Spirit. And as the freedmen began to have a dialogue with him, they realized they can't argue with him because he's so full of the wisdom, full of the Spirit of God, that there's no argument that he is who he is and what he says that he says.
Right.
So much so that what they do is they began to secretly persuade people to testify against him and say that he's actually blaspheming Moses and God. And then when that's not enough, then they go out and they stir up the people, the leaders, the elders, the teachers. So you can see a progression of increase of what's happening. And as they produce these false witnesses to testify against Stephen, they actually stand up and they say that this fellow never stops speaking against the holy place, which is the temple, and against the law. So two things that a Jew would hold in high esteem: the temple is the place where God dwelt.
Right.
Okay. And the law is what was given to them through Moses. And Moses is the one that they knew that when he went up on the mountain, he came down and his face glowed. That's where we were ending last week. And that's in Exodus 34, verses 29 and 35. So, Sabrina, I want you first to open up your Bible, and let's read Exodus 34, verse 29 and verse 35, so that we can see what it says in Scripture about Moses. And then we'll read the verse here in Acts of what it says about Stephen to see what it says about shining in the face.
Okay, you said Exodus 34.
Verse 29.
Verse 29. Okay.
And then verse 35.
When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord.
Okay.
And then 35.
It'll be chapter 34, verse 35.
Okay. They saw that his face was radiant.
Okay. One, first off, his face was radiant because he had been where?
With the Lord.
Okay. Did Moses know that his face was shining?
No.
Okay. Who saw?
When he came down from Mount Sinai.
They saw. So they could tell he had spent time with God. Okay. It was evident to them he had been in the presence of God. There's no denying.
Right. He didn't need to go around telling people. Mm-mm. It was just evident.
It was evident because he had been in God's presence. So it's not necessarily a glow. Okay.
This is what we were talking
about. Right, right. It's not a physical light. It is talking about that you can tell when somebody has been with God, you will see that spirit of humility, the contriteness, that they literally tremble at the word of God. Okay. You will see those things because those are the things that God esteems. You will see that evident in them. And with Stephen, as the accusers were accusing him and saying he was blaspheming the temple and the law, Stephen, it says, all the Sanhedrin that were looking intently at Stephen, they saw that his face was shining like that of an angel.
Mm.
And in the Quest Study Bible, it says, well, what does an angel's face look like? It says angels are messengers from God. Okay, that's the point. An angel is a messenger of God. Stephen is about to stand up before them and give a message. Okay? The Bible frequently describes those who come from God's presence as having shining faces. Stephen brought a message from God when he told the council about Jesus. Little wonder that for those who heard and understood his testimony that day, Stephen looked like an angel. Okay, so today, can our faces shine? I have had moments in my life where I have seen where I felt like I saw the shining on someone's face. And in fact, there is a verse in the message. I think it's Acts 2. Let me look. I want to look up and get this verse to you. Acts 2:28, and the message says, "You've got my feet on the light path with your face shining sun joy all around."
Mm.
That's the Father's face, the Son's face. And I thought, Lord, I want your Son, S-O-N, joy, to shine from my face. And I read that a long, long time ago, and I started praying and asking God that my face would be a radiant sun joy. I think I have days where you'd be lucky to see that I had been in the presence of God, even though it's a daily habit that I get up and I read my Bible and pray.
Right, right.
But within minutes, I can fall. But there are certain times when I know that I have had prayer warriors praying, and I'm about to go and do a ministry work for God. And so I have upped my prayer, upped my time with God, more so than my normal daily. And I have significant others praying, not even aware that this is going on. But God then allows circumstances to reveal something to me. And in particular, one day I was walking through the airport in Chicago. And as I'm walking as fast as I can on this, like, Concorde to get down to the very last end to get to the gate to get to my airplane, going as fast as I could because I'm in between flights, there happened to be a woman just sitting by herself, just sitting watching the passersby. And I thought, she looks lonely. And I looked at her, and as I looked at her, she caught my eye. And she looked me in the eye, and my prayer was, as I said, Lord, shine your light on her. And I went as fast as I could to get to my airplane. When I got on my airplane and I am looking for my seat number, you are never going to believe this, but that woman was sitting in the seat on the aisle where I was on the seat on the inside by the window. And I looked at her and I said, "That's my seat." And she goes, "I am so glad it's you." She goes, "I saw you in the airport," and she goes, "You saw me and you smiled and I saw some light in you." And as we began to dialogue, I told her, I said, "You know, I pray that somehow I will shine sun joy."
Mm-hmm.
I asked God for this, and I told her, "You know, of course I don't always, but I'm on my way to this conference, da 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 da." And she's like, "I am too." We were going to the same city.
Oh my goodness.
Two different conferences. She was a women's ministry leader at her church. And God allowed us to sit together. And as we were sitting in dialogue, we were talking, as only we women can do, having a grand time talking about God. I told her, I said, "You know, I'll just add this. This part doesn't have to do with shining, but it's a cool story, so I'm going to share it anyhow, because it just shares the fullness of the story." I said, "I'm on my way to this conference. I've been asked to be the MC." And I go, the last thing I was going to do is grab my watch. And because I don't wear a watch. I just don't do that. And I said, "But I know I need my watch for this weekend." And would you believe I forgot my watch? And she laughed. She goes, "That sounds like something I would do." And we went on and we talked for the 2-hour flight. And as we were about to land, she looked over at me and she goes, "God told me 4 times in this flight I'm supposed to do this. Don't you dare argue with me."
She knows you.
And I looked at her and I'm like, "What?" And she kind of gave me that look like a mom would. Ended up found out she was about my mom's age, but I really thought she was my age. She's so young looking. She had taken her watch off and she put it on my wrist. And it about makes me want to cry. And I just like, "I can't take your watch." And she goes, "Yes, you can." And she goes, "I would be in disobedience if I did not give it to you. God has made it clear to me, you have to have it." I'm like, "Okay." So we both get off. We've exchanged Facebook, whatever. And I get on my bus that I have like a van thing, another 2 hours to get to where I'm going, and unloaded in the cabin. I get to my meeting at 5 o'clock, which is the first team meeting. And as I walk into the meeting and I sit down, I am the only female in this meeting. And the person that's the overseer of the meeting looks at me and he says, "Tara, you got your watch right." Those were the very first words spoken to me. And I looked up and I held up my hand. I showed him my watch, put it back down. I'm like, "Thank you, Lord." So God's provision for this Amen. Person who's forgetful and who doesn't wear a watch, who needed to know minutes literally for 4 days straight. And but what happened was profound. And I just remember thinking, God, you know, that blows my mind away. She said she saw light in me. Mm. Well, I didn't have much time to dwell on it because it was like bam, 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 bam. The next thing I know, it's 10:30 at night. I have missed the shuttle to catch the shuttle from the Wind Shape Retreat Center to the cabins, which is about a mile walk through the woods. And I have to walk, and it's pitch dark, no lights. And I'm thinking, I've only been to that cabin one time, and it was fast that I ran in to drop off, and there were tons of cabins. And as I'm walking out, this facility is incredible, and I am feeling so full of the Spirit of God, so overwhelmed by God's presence, because there's missionaries from all over the world studying and talking. That's all we did, about how to get the gospel out to those in the world. And as I'm walking out, I notice over to the side what I thought was a bronze statue of a deer. And the deer turned and it looked at me, and it dawned on me, that's a real deer. She walked all the way up to me. I wasn't afraid, because it was obvious that she wasn't afraid of me. I put my hand out and that deer licked my hand. She licked all the salt off my hand. My hand was sopping wet with deer slobber. And I mean, I wasn't going to let her stop, because I love animals. I let her lick it completely. When she was done, she bowed. She bowed. And then she backed away about 10 paces, and then she turned and walked away. And I'm like freaking out. I'm trying to find my camera in my bag. I've got to get a photo. I've got to get a photo. It's pitch black. I take a picture. It's in the workbook. It's a terrible photo. A terrible photo of this deer. It's just, you can barely see it. But I put it in there because I wanted it to be the actual deer that did this. And she must have thought I was getting food. She came back. And so I put my other hand out. She licked all the salt off of that hand.
She's a smart deer.
And then she bowed again. And then backed up 10 paces and then walked away. And I didn't think anything. I was so excited that a deer came up and licked my hand. I'm like, what are the odds in a middle of a, right before a parking lot in this very public domain, a deer would do that? And I'm walking down the road in this pickup truck. These guys get me back to my cabin. Some pastors stop and they're like, "We'll get you there." And the next morning I'm praying. And I was praying this verse about Acts 2:28 from the Message. I'm like, God, you know, that's all I want, is I want your son joy to be so evident in me that people see it. That's all I long for. That's all I want in this life, is that it be so evident I have spent time with you that people see it in me. That's what I want. And then God reminded me about the airport incident with the lady. And I was like, God, she saw Jesus. And I was kind of like surprised. I'm like, she did, didn't she? It was like God was giving me an affirmation. And then I started in my prayer journal. I'm praying. I'm like, you know, God, the coolest thing. Thank you so much. I really feel like you kissed me last night by sending that deer. That really ministered to my heart. And then I remembered the deer bowed. I thought, God, that was weird. Why in the world did the deer go down with her hind haunches up, with both her legs down, with her head before me? Why did that deer bow to me? And then it occurred to me, if a human being can see sun joy in the face of a child of God, so can his creation. And I thought, God, is it possible that that deer bowed because it saw Jesus in me? Now, don't think I've gone weird spiritually, because that's not the intent. And I'm not even saying it to even brag, because it was a very intimate time for me with God. Very hard for me not even to cry as I talk about it. And that God was making it clear to me that when we are really spending our time with him and allowing him to be the one that purifies us, to allow him to fill us up with his spirit and his word, full of his grace and his power, creation will know we have been in his presence. And that's what happened with Moses that day. And that's what happened with Stephen that day. Now, I think it's rare. I think it's extremely rare that we actually have that happen today. And I think it's because we have too many things that we bring before God that are our idols. One of my idols, I confess this week, I looked at my husband and I said, Greg, I really struggle with you, and that you are one of my idols that keeps me from seeing God. I put you in too much esteem before I put God. And my husband looked at me and he goes, I'm not to be your idol. Take me off that. There are so many things that we can place before us that we don't have, that we shouldn't have, that are idols, whether it's, there's countless things that we can have placed before God that hinder us from shining his light because we have this before God instead of allowing ourselves to be pure. And I think that's the reason why sometimes mission trips and retreats and conferences are so profound, because it helps us to shed all that we have as idols before us so that we can really focus in on who he is and who he has called us to be. And Stephen in particular had certain things, certain qualities about him that revealed that he had been in the presence of God. And in the workbook, I call it the seven factors that are faith factors that Stephen had. And of course, I can't find it as I'm flipping. And these are the things that we want to have in us. We cannot make it happen apart from prayer and ministry to the Word of God. It has to happen. But when we have spent time in the Word, reading the Word, and in prayer, asking God to make that Word in us evident, people will know we have been in the presence of God. We're not going to see it, because if we see it, then we're being prideful. We will have no clue when we are shining the light of his glory. But we can shine the light of his glory if we are doing what he has called us to do, because that is what draws people to him. Stephen's seven factors of faith were: he was full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith, full of God's grace, full of God's power. And because of that, he was full of evidence of great wonders, and he was full of evidence of miraculous signs. And I end that particular section asking the question, what's your faith factor? Can people really see that you've spent time in the light of his presence? Because if we have spent time in the light of his presence, we are to be that light on the hill so that the entire city can see, so that they can see the glory of the Lord. And then by doing that, lives will be changed and the word of God will increase. Thanks for listening. God bless.